Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I am your host, Michael DeCamp. I'm here with my co-host. Who are you?
Nancy DeCamp. Hello.
Nancy DeCamp. I know her pretty well. And we are joined today. We have a special guest. We have Vivian Vandeveer. Hello, Vivian.
Hello.
And Vivian is, and correct me if I miss something here, if I don't define it correctly, but she is both an entrepreneur and a stylist extraordinaire.
Ooh. Yes. I'll go with the extraordinaire part.
A stylist extraordinaire, an artiste of the hair. And I don't know, I'm making that up. You actually have kind of a little bit of a unique color in your hair right now. What color is that? What would you call that?
It's a combination of lavender with baby light pink.
I like it.
Lavender with baby light pink. I'm thinking maybe I should try it.
You should.
Yeah.
We can do that.
See if my my day job boss will agree to that. So we are excited to have Vivian here. We'll get into a conversation with her in just a moment. We want to take a moment to recognize our sponsors, Ash and Elm Cider Company, located right here in Indianapolis. And I'm enjoying one of their dry ciders. And I think Nancy
As am I. Yes, I'm dry.
And Vivian has tasted their cranberry rum. And she winced because it's kind of tart, but she thought it was pretty good, I think. Is that fair?
Very tasty.
Very tasty. So keep in mind, folks out there, you can find Ash and Elm Cider Company online at ashandelmcider.com. And they have a restaurant on East Washington Street where you can get some pretty good food. You should probably check that out.
Yes, do.
Yep, absolutely. And we always start our podcasts with a discussion of our creative indulgences. So, Nancy, we'll let you start, and then we'll go to Vivian, and then I'll wrap it up.
Okay. Well, the one thing I will say is a creative indulgence, and I don't think I shared this on the last podcast. So if I did, sorry, listeners, you get to hear it again because I'm slow at going through this stuff. But I started watching on Amazon Prime a series called Britannia. And it involves Romans invading and warring clans and druids. So it's interesting, especially as I am currently planning in the future, not anytime nearby, planning a trip to the Scottish Highlands. And so thinking about the druids and the clans and all of that has made the show interesting to me. So I would recommend it.
You did actually mention
it. Did I mention it? I'm sorry, guys. I haven't made it all the way through it.
Because we were talking about the druids were druiding. I remember that specifically. Yeah. So pretty cool. Pretty cool.
So that's probably otherwise life's the only other creative thing I did was make my family walk like crazy when we took a holiday recently.
Yeah, you about walked me into a wheelchair, I think. I ended up with a sore back after about the second day. So it was pretty awesome walking around historic Charleston.
Yes, that was an indulgence too, just to see the beautiful houses and area there.
Yeah, we should have, it's bad we can't have an ancient architect on. That would be pretty cool. I think they're long gone. Vivian, what kind of creative indulgence have you been indulging in?
Well, I love to read. I love art. There's so much that I enjoy. And I kind of like you, Nancy, I kind of like some of that.
I just remind her she needs to lean into the microphone.
Mike's a tyrant. You think I'm a tyrant. He's the real tyrant here.
I've been properly rebuked. So anyway, I love all the arts. I love all of that creativity. My latest book that I've been reading, but I've read this like four times, is Rick Joyner's trilogy of The Final Quest, which is, I love it because it's about the unseen realm, very much like your book, Mike. Yeah. You know, okay. Those things that are going on beyond or what we Frank see with Peretti. Our natural eyes. Oh, yes, that kind of a book.
Yeah.
And it's just about the battles that we're in every single day that we're going through that we aren't even aware of. So I love the way that it dials up your awareness and being able to recognize some of the things that are happening in another dimension that we are also in.
Sure.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to say this too, because I was really thinking about this when you told me what we were going to be talking about. My favorite creative indulgence is that I love to crawl inside of a painting. I love to take vacations. Uh-huh. I love to get in a snowfall. I love to get in a winter scene. I love to get in the fall scene. And I take a journey.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very much in the snow scene, though.
Oh, yes.
We've developed a pact that it just happened naturally, right? We just started texting. Whenever there's a snow, we text each other. Do you see it? Is it wonderful? Is it beautiful where you're at?
And we're alone.
Nobody else appreciates it.
No.
Nobody agrees.
But you know, it's funny. I started that when I worked so much that I never got to take a vacation, like years and years and years of no vacation.
Right.
And I had bought this one painting, and one day I was just sitting staring at it. And the next thing you know, I was on a walk inside the painting, and it was a snow scene.
Cabin
in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just found myself going there and resting by the fireplace and just soaking it in. So I think we underuse our imaginations.
Mm.
Yes.
Maybe we'll explore that a little bit more later on. You made me think about talking about crawling into a painting. I don't know if you heard about this. I don't know where the museum was. But just this week on the news, I heard about a museum that hired a security guard to work in the museum. And in the museum was this painting by a master, and it was worth over $1 million.
Famous.
Yeah. I don't remember. I didn't catch who the artist was, but it's just a really expensive classic. And it had figures with no facial features. It was
People, but they weren't defined. Right.
So the security guard put eyes on them.
Oh no.
Some of the comedians were like, you think that might be one of the first questions you would ask a security guard in an art museum is don't draw on things.
I think he might be in debt for a while.
Oh yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. My creative indulgence that I'll talk about this week is my book that I'm reading. It was given to me for my birthday. I usually get like 5 or 6 books at Christmas and birthday, but this year I just got 2 books. And the one I'm reading right now is by Nick Offerman. You might know Nick Offerman from a couple of TV shows that he was in. Drawing a blank on the TV show. Parks and Recreation. Yeah, he was on Parks and Recreation. You can see his face right there. So the title of the book is Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, subtitled The Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside. So I am about...
You're almost done with it. You've been working your way through, because I think you lightly mentioned it the last time we talked.
Barely. I couldn't remember the title of the book, but Where the Deer and the Antelope Play by Nick Offerman. I'm in the third segment. First segment was he was hiking in Glacier National Park. Second segment, he was working in basically England, and he went to visit this farm that he had got connected with online. So he was building a stone wall and all the other things that they were doing there at the farm. And then this last one, he and his wife, Megan Mullally, also an actress. They bought an Airstream after the COVID pandemic thing began. So they bought this Airstream so that they could go visit family.
So they're going
family.
Around camping everywhere.
Yeah, they're camping and they're visiting family. The interesting thing is it's not just about the travel. It's really about people. And it's about his perceptions of how we do things and how we take care of the planet and how we treat one another. And I find that I agree with a lot of what he says, but maybe not... I find that he's right in my mind on a lot of things, but he's one of those folks who tends to not be as respectful for those who don't see it the same way. So I'm struggling with that part, but I'm enjoying the book overall. So
interesting.
It's a good book. Just be ready for the political diatribes from time to time.
Oh, no.
So even though I kind of agree with his perceptions, I don't necessarily agree with the way that he approaches it. If that makes sense.
I get it.
So anyway, That's my creative indulgence
so
for this time.
So speaking of creative indulgences.
Yes.
I would say that Vivian has been a part of my creative indulgences throughout life. My adult years anyways, in terms of being a stylist and one of the things that I appreciated when I had small children is we would, of course, when you get your hair done, guys and gals, you tend to build a relationship and have conversations. And we would talk about my daughters growing up. And one of the things I thought was a sage piece of advice was that you can change their hair, let them do whatever they want with their hair, because it changes, it grows out. But if they get a tattoo or something else, that's a little more permanent. That's a little more challenging to deal with. So from that point on, I let my girls do whatever they wanted with their hair.
And we had fun.
We had a lot of fun. And I think they're adults now, so I don't tend to pay for it anymore. So they don't get it done as often. But that is still very much something that they feel comfortable doing and expressing themselves in that way. So I guess why don't you tell us a little bit about your career, your business, your salon a little bit, and where you're at now. What's going on now from the creative aspect as a
Yeah, why don't you introduce the salon first so that everybody knows, you know, about it and where it's at and what you do there, and then let's go back and explore some of the other stuff.
So if you want a little bit of history of Transformation Salon and Spa, it started in 1985 as Guys and Dolls. I didn't have enough money to change the sign, so it was that way for 10 years. And then it became Transformation Salon and Retail Center in 1995. And then in 2005, it became Transformation Salon and Spa. In 2015, I told him to hide me, lock away the keys, and don't let me spend any more money. We're through. So that's been fun. That's the practical part of kind of what happened with the history of transformations. We have definitely been evolving. I've never been afraid of risk. I've never been afraid. I know when I built the spa, somebody said, well, aren't you scared? I mean, what if you're going to go into debt? I mean, what if it fails? I said, oh, there's a shower in there. There's a galley kitchen. I can sleep on one of the massage beds.
Right.
Nobody will even know I'm there. So I really wasn't afraid. Of course, I was younger then. And now as I'm getting a little bit older, those risks carry a lot more weight.
Calculate them a little more, right?
There's less time to recover.
Yes.
So, you know, my next adventure is moving towards retirement, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and passing the baton. So everything I'm kind of doing, what I'm involved in right now, is just preparing the people that I have invested in and love for that next step.
Sure. Sure.
So going all the way back to the very beginning, what made you think, you know, I think I'll go and work, I'll go start a salon.
Or I'll be a stylist.
I don't think it started there. I mean, you did the stylist first, right? Probably working for someone else.
Yeah.
Right. But how did that all start? If you were to go back to the very beginning.
I had absolutely no interest in being a hairdresser. And I had no interest in being a business owner. None. Zero. Nada. Because my parents were entrepreneurs. My whole family is.
Yep. Yep.
And I saw how hard they worked. And that was not something I wanted to do. But I became a hairdresser because my mother in particular felt like it was kind of a waste in time for women to go to college and go to school. I really wanted to be a junior high art teacher. That was my heart's desire. And she felt like I was going to get married and have five kids. I thought I would too. For those that know me, that never happened, you know. So that surprised her too and me. But anyway, the Lord's given me many, 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 many children. Even he has a way of meeting that need in us beyond what we are always looking for. So I'm off track.
You were telling us where it all began.
Art teacher. It all began. I wanted to be an art teacher. And so I eventually got involved in ministry downtown Indianapolis. We worked the streets. You know, we worked with the homeless. We worked with the prostitutes. We worked with all of those people down there. And I loved it. We lived downtown Indy when it was the dark ages,
right?
Before it was reformed, before it was changed. And I really had no desire to have a salon. I had no desire to have a business. It wasn't in me. And a friend that I went to church with called me and said, I think you're supposed to buy my salon. And I said, I don't think so. And she said, I think you're supposed to buy my salon. About another month later, she called me again and she said, I think you're supposed to buy my salon. I've really prayed about it. I think you're supposed to buy my salon. And I said, I don't think so. And so I said, no. So she called me back again a little bit later and she said, I really think you're supposed to buy my salon. And she said, have you at least prayed about it? And I said, no.
Wasn't interested, so I didn't talk to him about
it. I'm gonna try this this system. I'm just gonna go up to random people. Hey, you're supposed to buy my book.
There you go. Hey, it might work.
It might.
So I went to praying, and actually, you know, what brought me into deciding to buy Transformations and to go for it was I was sitting on my bed and I was praying, and there was a picture on my wall. And it was a picture of a wedding dress with a wedding ring blanket and all kinds of wedding things all around it. And I thought, I never noticed that that was a wedding dress. I never noticed that that was a wedding ring blanket. I never noticed this. And I just felt like God spoke to my heart and said, I want to teach you to rule and reign. And that I was supposed to do it. And so in that dialogue with him, you know, I felt like they wanted $50,000 for the salon. I said, well, I don't have $50,000. That's not going to happen. I felt like he told me to offer her half.
This is $50,000 back in
1985.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of money.
Yeah. There's a little bit different value to that today.
Yes. So in the process of that conversation, and I'm like, I can't do that. That would be an insult. I'm not going to do it. She called me back again about 2 weeks later. And said, Vivian, I really believe you're supposed to buy my salon. And I said, I can't. I said, there's just no way. If I were going to buy a salon, your salon's beautiful. It is exactly what I would want to have. And she said, well, would you do it for $25,000?
You're like, ugh.
And I said,
I think you're supposed to buy her salon. Yeah.
So I went and I prayed about it. And I went to my parents who have always been very, very supportive. And I talked to them about it. They felt like it was a great opportunity. They got behind me. They loaned me the money. And they're for Guys and Dolls.
There you go.
And where was this located then?
This was located on US 31, right there by the White Castle. There used to be a Central Hardware right there.
Where like Shelby and 31 come together kind of thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's how Guys and Dolls fell into your lap.
Yes.
Or got placed there.
Yes. And I think I've grown in ways I never would have grown. I've been stretched in ways I never would have been stretched. I have had my heart's desire met in children because I loved them all. Mm-hmm. And they've loved me back. You know, it's been a really great relationship. It's also been that opportunity to constantly being stretched. I mean, you either in business, you either have to stay ahead of the game or you're going to fall off.
Right,
there's not really an opportunity to take long breathers because if you do, the next thing you know, you're coasting backwards. Mm-hmm. So it has stretched me. It has grown me. Probably more than a college education would have.
Yeah. Yeah. In this scenario, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So with that, were you able to still, I know you were still able to do hair and do the styling things that you were trained in, because you did get trained. You did go to schooling, right?
I did.
Okay.
Yes. And I love doing hair. Hair is, you know, and it's just kind of amazing to me that sometimes we think we're going down one path and we think it's the path that we want. But then when we end up another path, if our eyes are wide open, then we will get fulfilled,
right?
You know, because I used to cut hair on the street corners. I used to take my scissors to parties everywhere I went because I loved what I did. And I loved that creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved being able to have a person in my chair and for them to get up and go, wow, I love myself. I like myself. You hit it. That's the satisfying part of what a hairdresser does.
So the hair was fun, but it's the actual transformation of people that really
it
spoke to you.
And it's, you know, that awakening in a person, you know, because sometimes, you know, you can try on a wig or you can try on a hairstyle or you can do something to change. And it just sparks a domino effect in your life.
Right. Right.
To where then it's like one thing leads to the next thing and it empowers you to be able to make a change or to feel better about yourself or better about your day. And I know I have a client one time and she's a psychologist and she said, Vivian, I wrestle with feeling like I'm being vain when I want to do my hair. Like I just feel like I'm stuck in some kind of vanity and maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I said, well, my whole thing with doing hair, with doing my makeup, getting dressed for the day,
right,
is so I can walk out of the house and not think about me the rest of the day. I can walk out of the house and I don't have to worry about if my hair's done, if my
makeup's done. What do they think of this or that? Or you're comfortable with that.
It frees you from being self-conscious. And that's really what we want because then we can be other focused. Then we can see people and we're not sitting there thinking, oh, is my hair out of place? Is my shirt on backwards?
Right. Cause you do.
You do.
You do. And I guarantee you every single time that I can think about when the girls were little, I would get up early in the morning to run to the grocery before school time, before they were up. Cause Mike was there. He hadn't gone to work. I would always run into somebody when my hair was not done and I had not a lick of makeup on and I'm thinking they're ready. They want to take me to the ER or something. Cause I don't look like how I usually, not that I over the top and do tons, but yeah, that's it is different. And I've without you telling me, I don't go out unless I've got just a little bit on or something in order.
And the one time you do,
yes,
you see everybody.
Yes. And especially you're like, just what you need in your business. Oh, well, she owns transformations and look at her, you know, that could fall on and such. So transforming lives. And having fun with hair. Is there a particular aspect of doing hair that's more fun than others, other than transforming people?
The truth of it is, in 2 years, I will have done hair 50 years. Yes. So
you're 52 years old? That's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. So I still love the creative part of doing hair. I don't love standing anymore. It's really hard to stand that long, to lean over a shampoo bowl and some of those things. But I love still if I could sit and just do consultations all day and put those clients in someone else's chair and tell them what to do, I would be thrilled.
All right. Well, we're chatting today before you leave.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get a little consultation in the Cutter's Knot studio.
Claim a consultation here before you go. It's such. But yeah, I would imagine that there are some hardships, whether it's the standing or the thing I always thought about is your hand being in the chemicals and the water and such, that could be, are those common challenges? Are there other common challenges?
A lot of people develop allergies over time, because your hands are in it so much that, and then begin to have reactions to it. So they have to quit doing what they love because
they just can't.
Yeah.
Wow.
True.
So when you think of that creative process, and then as you have expanded a size from being a stylist, and now you've gone into the spa side of things, what's creative about that? I guess, is it from the business side or are there other aspects of that? Much like you like doing hair and creating transformation there.
Well, and I think probably the creative side, I'm not an esthetician. I'm not a massage therapist. So I don't really know where their creative juices come from, but I know as a business owner, I was one of those things. Like I felt like it was the next thing to do. If I want to stay ahead of the curve, if I want my business to grow, I needed to expand and do something that was going to make us a little more progressive.
Sure.
How did you know where the curve was? When you're talking about trying to stay ahead of the curve, how do you know where the curve is?
I think that's instinct. I think that's called gut. I think that's called creativity. I think that's called having your mind open and your spirit open and perceiving what's going on around
you. And I think that's very, when you say that, because I'm in the accounting business world in my day job. And the people that are most successful, and I've shared this before, are the people who think outside the box. And you wouldn't necessarily think that, but you can either have what we would call closed learning, like 2 + 2 = 4, done. Or you can say 2 + 2 = 4, but, and then there's open for learning. Is it 2 apples and 2 pears or is it, what that openness I think becomes essential to perhaps identifying that curve that you're talking about.
Well, and you've obviously been very successful with that.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Started with a basic salon and it's become something much, much more than that, with a retail store and a spa, and you still have the salon portion. I know that you've won awards in Indianapolis, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. But talk about that transformation of transformations.
Oh, God.
I guess brag on it a little bit.
Brag.
Tell us what's been good about it.
Share your vanity.
Share my vanity. I honestly think what's been the best part about it is the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people are the hardest and the best part of life.
Right.
You know, they are. It just is. But there are... ask me that question again, because I already forgot. I remember. I'm
the
old.
Accolades or the accomplishments.
My niece called me elderly.
Yeah. Well, you know, the transformation of transformations. You know, tell us about how it transformed over time, because you started out with just a basic salon, but it became so much more to
like
where
the
now.
Successes. What has led it?
The successes,
to
the different steps along the way, and some of the awards that you've won as a.
Well,
as a salon.
Yeah, we've won Indy's Best Day Spa for 10 years in a row while they were running the contest. I mean, I don't think they even do the best of Indy anymore for spas or salons like that I've heard of anyway. But I think one of the things that made us the best was just our customer service. You know, we've always put people ahead of the dollar, ahead of the money.
Sure.
You know, that's been the most important thing. And that risk taker in me, I'm never really worried about money until I've got a little bit older. So that makes a little bit different. So,
you push the envelope.
It's always about doing the right thing. You know, we would go out of our way to make sure that people were happy. And honestly, one of the hard things in this day and age is people are already so unhappy that it's really hard to make them happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can almost tell when someone walks in the door, like if we're going to be able to please them or not, like if we try our very best. And if anything has made us different is I feel like my staff tries harder.
Right.
I believe that's always been in my makeup. I could never stand for anybody to be unhappy or to not feel like I did my best to please that person. Mm-hmm. But that has gotten very hard in the last several years.
Right.
So,
is there a particular attribute when you talk about that and how hard your people work that way when you're hiring employees? Stylists, estheticians, and what have you. You'll hire anybody, but is there anything, something that you look for, you're like,
can I have a job?
He or she, they've got it, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I like to be eclectic with my people. Mm-hmm. I like to have diversity with my people. I like to have people around me that are different, that have different ways of thinking, different. I don't want everybody to come in and be the same. Because there's somebody for everybody.
Right.
You know, there may be a client that sits in my chair that there is no way that I can please. But you know what? Christine over there, she's got your number.
That's your person.
Yeah. Or you know what? I see this in you. Maybe this person over here would be a better fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there is just that aspect of, I'm losing my train of thought. I do not know what's wrong.
She's blaming the cranberry rum. It might be the well water too, you know?
Yeah. Oh my goodness gracious. I am so sorry.
But yeah, there is such a diverse need to meet the diverse needs that are out there and that walk in.
Yeah. So I think, again, I think what we're talking about, like what made us really different and what could have been the cutting edge part of who we are and transformations and who we are and what we do, is just really being aware of the changing times, the changing environment, what's going on with people, and trying to meet their perceived needs.
Sure.
So, yeah.
What are some of the major trends that you have seen happen within your industry? In the last, you say you're getting close to 50 years doing this. That was your words, not mine. I'm just repeating them. But across that half a century, what are some of the major trends that you've seen happen within the stylist industry that were kind of pivotal?
I think one of my favorite things is I like to go back to the 70s when the movie Soylent Green came out. And there was a woman in this movie that had bright blue hair. And I remember thinking, one day that's going to be normal.
Wow. And it is, right?
And it is, you know, and here I am, elderly, as my niece would call me. And I have lavender and pink hair, you know, and I first got this probably about 10 years ago, and that people my age were not doing that yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it has become normal. I mean, you don't turn around and stop and look somebody just like, because their hair has a little pink it's in like or a little, that, it is the normal.
It now. Is the normal. And I was thinking about the pop artist, Billie Eilish, with her green, bright green and different color that she's done and the nails and stuff that she has. Everybody thinks, yeah, okay, that's just Billie Eilish. It's just no normal. Big deal. Yeah.
Somebody has to go first and somebody has to make it. I remember almost every trend I have ever seen come out. I remember when the bi-level come out, or Meg Ryan, when she first started wearing just the hair, it looked like it was sticking out everywhere.
Yeah.
And I said, that will never float. You know, no one is ever going to want that hot mess. But you know what? It became popular. And I think it's somebody has to take that first step to shock everybody.
Right.
You know, whether it's breaking the sound barrier, or do you have to just do that impossible, which gets back to that creativity. You've got to think it, you've got to see it, and then you've got to push past what you think is normal.
Well, and I will say, at least from the conversations, and I will confess I'm a transformations person, but the conversation is a lot of your stylists, they do continuing education, mm-hmm. and you yeah, send do. Them places, yes, LA, New York,
yeah,
you know, wherever to do continue, and you bring people in from yes. some of the big companies as yes. well. You feel like that's an important part of keeping the what keeps the creative juices flowing?
It keeps you being inspired. You have to be able to be inspired. And it's been really hard the last couple of years because they quit coming to the salon and you quit being able to go out and they wanted us to watch videos. And you know what?
That's
you know,
not the same.
It's just not the same
yeah.
because there is an energy that a person carries, like when you're present with them, that is, it's our creativity. It's our spirits coming alive, being awakened. Mm-hmm. And I can feed off your spirit and your spirit. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. it creates creativity. And I think when we're so isolated and we don't really get to connect, it stops the flow.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my percolator this morning. It has a short in it.
Oh, no.
And I have to move it just right for the electricity to flow. And I think sometimes we are like that. You know, if we're not connected, for me, with God.
Right.
With people in the mm-hmm. spirit realm, with the other dimensions that are around us, the more we have that connection, the more we can flow in it.
I think, you know, what you're saying there really speaks to me in terms of raising, and it's not, sometimes it's literally raising our eyes up and looking around, but sometimes it is more mentally, psychologically, spiritually creating an awareness. And sometimes you have to practice that in order yes. for it to become yes. more intuitive.
Yes.
It's not always natural, but to feed off of it, you have to start somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking on our last podcast about there are some things in Psychology Today that talked about how children were all born with a certain creativity. And a lot of times children tend to lose that creativity because the structure of their learning isn't open for that open thought or challenge or question. It's no, just do the exercise and go from there. Like we're not, sometimes when we're so stuck on that, we miss the opportunity to foster mm-hmm. some of the creativity.
Well, and I think, you know, you go back to even how transformations has started and evolved. If I would have done everything in the pattern that everybody else has ever done it before, I never would have been able to maybe push ahead in some other areas. Mm-hmm. So, and likewise, if somebody else hadn't pushed ahead for me, it wouldn't have opened the door for me to be able to go through that to think, oh, wow, spa. Oh, wow, this. Oh, wow, facelifts. Oh, wow, you know, all of these different things. And
sure.
Yeah, it just, so we either open the door for someone else, or maybe we can push it open a little further for the next person. Okay.
So aside from the Meg Ryan thing, you thought there's no way that's going to go. Were there other trends that came out that when they first came out, you're like, oh, please, no, not this.
Almost every single one. Almost every single one.
That's yeah, you know, funny.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one you were like, well, obviously you just said the blue hair. You're like, that's going to become
yeah.
normal yeah. At some point in time.
No. Yeah. I think one of the best things about the age that we live in right now is really you can. If you're not self-conscious, you can really be free to wear anything you want, do
sure.
anything you want. We sure. live in an environmental that is really non-judgmental in this day
regard.
And age. That is one area I feel like we have really grown in as a human
right.
race.
Right.
It's almost like we celebrate creativity. We celebrate style. We celebrate personal style.
Sure.
Not necessarily the trend of everybody conforming to everybody else.
Right. Yeah, that is a good thing.
Yeah.
I know that over the years I've done different things. And I know one of the things that I had, Mike's laughing because he already knows, when my oldest daughter was a baby, a toddler, I had really short hair and I had a rat tail.
That's one of those ones that I didn't like.
Mike did not like that.
No.
I had fun with it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it was just a little thing.
It wasn't ostentatious.
No.
Mike, you need a tail.
That's about all I got left right now. Yeah, right.
That's funny.
In all fairness, probably if we dial the clock back about 20 years, I used to get my hair cut at Transformations. Mm-hmm. And then I went to this clipper thing. So it's like, let's not waste their time.
It's going away. You're not doing anything outside the box.
My hairline across my forehead went back to where it's just sort of across the top of my head. And so I've gone to more of a clipper or a really short scissor cut. So it's like, that's not much creativity. At least from my perspective, maybe you could tell me something different.
You find creativity in other areas, I guess.
Yeah. We can still do pink.
Pink? Yeah.
You have enough hair, we could still do
pink. Or blue.
Yeah.
My daytime job manager.
You'd be surprised how they get over it pretty quick. You just keep doing your sales. You bring in the money.
We'll just ask him.
Okay.
Mark?
I'll ask
him. Hey, Mark?
Yeah,
hey,
you're
Mark?
Listening?
Are you listening, Mark? Can I get pink hair?
If he still brings in the money, you don't care what color his hair is, right, Mark? If you listen to this podcast, you need to comment and let us know.
I'll put some money on that one. I bet I know his answer. So anyway, So Nancy's still a customer of Transformations, but I'm sorry. I went.
You're wayward.
I'm wayward.
We all have that prodigal son. You know, my daughters are still clients as well.
Love your girls.
With the pandemic, don't love me anymore, do you?
I do love you, Mike. I do. I love our conversations. I love the way you provoke thought.
Some people just say I provoke,
right?
But that depends on their nature.
Okay. I'll go with that.
So we know the pandemic has affected businesses and all of that. But one aspect I thought to talk about is I've seen a lot of people who used to color their hair, go to natural or strip out color to go to the gray or silver or white highlights and such. Has that been huge the last couple of years?
That was huge. Really? And one of the things that happened with the pandemic and all of that too, was clients used to come in every 4 or 5 weeks, get a haircut. They screw their hair out. Yeah. So they're coming in less often.
Yeah.
So, and then true with the color. I mean, they might do something to spruce up their white a little bit, or maybe add a little bit of dimension to the white or to the gray just to make it have a little bit of a kick. But so many people went back to their natural hair color after the pandemic.
I thought about it and then I thought again.
A lot of those same people that did that are now coming back because although white is beautiful and the gray is beautiful, it can be very striking. It's not anti-aging. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and I will say we looked at it and we can have a sidebar and I can tell you about the things that we did. And it's like, I came home and I was like, I'm not ready for that. And the one thing I found out I'm a face for radio and podcast right now. So you can't tell exactly out there as I describe it to you. I have few highlights of the natural nature. Vivian's laughing. But it was interesting through the pandemic that I found out that they weren't silver or gray. It's straight out white. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting. And one of the things you told me, you said, didn't you have like a lot of red in your natural hair? Doesn't the natural red tend to go more white than silver and gray? Or was my dreaming that conversation?
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Red has a tendency to, people that have naturally red hair, the brightest colors turn gray fastest or turn white fastest.
Okay.
I think people with very dark hair, which your hair is very dark naturally, they have a tendency, theirs tends to be more white.
Interesting.
And silvery.
Well, and I will say that because my mother and my brothers, total white.
Silver. Yeah. Silver foxes.
Well, they were, by the time my brothers were 30, they both had salt and pepper, silver hair. So I made it past them. But even now, my brother who's still with me, white. There's no silver. It is white. And so.
Where's the blue hair come from?
What blue hair?
Oh, the little old ladies.
The little old ladies, the older women. Well, let's be respectful. Older women sometimes end up with blue hair. How's that happen?
My grandparents, the women of that era, the blue hairs, mm-hmm. that came from what they had these things called Rue Fanciful Rinses. And people didn't go to the salon and get their hair. A lot of times, you know, we're talking about that generation that went through the Depression.
Depression, yeah.
And they were still afraid to spend any penny they had. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but they could, with these little Rue Fanciful Rinses, they could put this blue in their hair. And what it did is it would darken the white so that it wasn't as white. So it was a little less aging. So it really just took the edge off of the white hair. Mm-hmm. And they all had blue hair and it was their normal. Actually, they were the first, even before that lady.
Right.
Yeah. What did you say that was called? So what kind of a rinse?
Rue Fanciful Rinses.
Rue Fanciful?
Fanciful.
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 Rue Fanciful.
Do you still have ladies that come in, older ladies, and get like a curl set and dry, you know, like the old curlers kind of thing?
Very few.
Yeah. And, that's, you know, shifted.
Yeah. Just even 5 years ago, we would have a group of ladies that would come in on Friday mornings. And their husbands would all sit in the reception area and they all got relationships with each other. But I bet we only have like 3 or 4 of those clients left. And I love them dearly.
The style is just
hard to see them go.
Yeah. Hard to see them go. And then people have not done the same thing.
Yeah. There's not very many people that wear a shampoo and set anymore.
Yeah.
They do hot rollers.
Yeah.
Or curling irons.
Yeah.
Or
flat
irons.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I tell you, I love and have always appreciated your creativity. I love that when you've shared that you love risk because
used to.
Well, right. But I know that when you personally did my hair, we had no problem with risk. Let's just go for it.
You can fix it. Hair, you can fix it.
Yes. I have a hard time convincing others that it's okay to go that risky. I'm still building relationships so they know I promise you it's okay. But
at the very least it grows.
Right. It grows. You can wear a scarf. I mean,
I still remember the time you tried to go blonde.
Whose idea was that?
Yeah.
Mike? Whose idea was it for her to go blonde, hey, Mike? Who wanted that?
I still think it could have worked.
Mike, we tried.
It was not a good night.
It was not.
We realized that was the Lord himself said, this is not meant to be.
I even think Mike ended up agreeing with that.
What color did it actually turn out to be?
It was blonde.
It was blonde,
but it just did not work.
Bright, yellowy blonde.
So we had to redo it some, add some red in it to kind of strawberry blonde.
Well, I never got to see the actual bright, yellowy blonde. I think you redid it before.
No, you came. You saw before.
I was going to do it.
Folks out there and listen, Lynn. I knew that Mike always thought, you know, I'd love to see you have blonde hair. Because I would always experiment. And finally, I decided I'm going to pull the cord and we're going to do it. But I'm not going to tell him. I'm just going to go get my hair done and show up home as a blonde. And I went and we started doing it. And when the processing and stuff started done and Vivian started rinsing my hair, I mean, prayers and schedules got shifted and it was like, and even you wrapped my head in the towel and took me over to your seat to kind of comb through it and look at it. And she wouldn't let me open my eyes. And then finally you let me look and I'm like, well, okay, it's not good, but it's not horrible. We can live. And at that point I was like, well, let me call Mike to look at it because before we adjust it some, I can say, look, I tried this for you. That's love.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
And I only have one picture of myself, and I'm not sure where it is right now, but I only have one picture of myself with the blonde hair.
I'd love to see that.
I know, I have to find it. But
how long did you keep it?
It took a few months to get it to a darker color. So I would say within a year. 6 months to a year, we were someplace else.
I can't even remember.
But I only have one picture of myself. The girls were both really little. And I remember it's a picture of me bent down with holding on to each of them in a park somewhere with me with that blonde hair.
Well, I remember that it happened. I just don't remember what it looked like.
Right.
Maybe I've blocked that out.
Me too.
So let's go back. Let's dial the clock back even before your salon days when you still had no inkling that you wanted to do anything related to hairstyling and you still wanted to be an art teacher. So what was your art? What kind of art did you really enjoy in those days?
I think the art that I enjoyed was my junior high art teacher. That's what opened my heart to loving art, because I found that she was someone that empowered people. She stretched us to get into our freedom, to get in and to grow. I loved art history. I loved, I don't think I ever aspired to be an artist. I aspired more to teach creativity.
And you've kind of done that only in a completely different avenue that you thought you would.
Keep your hands wide open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep your heart wide open.
Yes, sir.
As well. Yeah.
I was telling Mike before you got here, I said, I remember Vivian's artwork as you were in school and such. I can remember being at your house and going in your room and seeing some of the things that you had made.
I think actually, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about that.
But yeah, I hadn't thought about it in a while.
In my mind's eye, I just went back to the box that I have all my artwork in, and I started seeing the pictures, and I think most of them were portraits.
Yeah.
So that would have maybe the way that I was leaning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool.
Well, we're about to jump into, I think, the random questions. Let her pick it out, Nancy. Let her pick the card.
I'm just going to shuffle them a little bit.
Okay. But before we do that, I do want to thank you for one of the things Vivian has done besides Nancy's hair is she has read some of my books. So I've been very appreciative of your support.
I need to get your last one.
Okay. Nozomi's Battle?
Yes. I don't think I have that yet.
All right. And you'll have to hurry up and read that one, because the next one after that's almost ready to come out. Okay. So the trilogy is almost complete.
I have cash with me.
We can make that happen here before you leave.
Okay.
So, but thank you very much for that.
Oh, and your Love Out Loud book. Oh my goodness, that was so good.
Yes.
Well, isn't that what it was called? You looked at me like I had it wrong.
Loving Out Loud.
Yeah, you had it. Loving Out Loud.
Yeah, it was so.
That's my favorite.
It was supposed to be a devotional, and I swear I sat down and read it right away.
Yeah.
It was straight through.
It was so good.
It's stories. It's stories and interactions. Yeah. You can certainly use it as a devotional, but it does give you pause.
Yes. It was so good. Great job.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, let's do the creative. Random questions.
We have this deck of cards. Pick a card. There's like three questions on there, and you get to pick the one question that on the card all that all three of us have to answer.
Ooh. I need glasses.
a lot of pressure on you here.
I think you can answer, I would say, seriously or jokingly.
But honestly.
I love this.
Okay.
Which are smarter, cats or dogs?
Well, you have to answer first.
Okay. Definitely cats. I say, you know, I tell everybody that gets a dog, you've got a 2-year-old for the rest of their life. When you get a cat, you have a 14-year-old for the rest of your life.
Okay. Yeah. And they have longer lives too, typically. And they don't do. They?
Yeah. I have a 22-year-old. My vet keeps telling me a very super senior cat.
A very super senior cat. I just saw this, a meme earlier today, and I thought it was funny. It says, the best thing about dogs is that you can act like something really great just happened and they'll instantly start celebrating with you. They have no idea what the context is. They're just always ready to party no matter what.
It is the truth.
Well, a cat will just look at you like, what are you doing?
That's because they're smart.
And walk away and hide behind the sofa. Nancy, what do you think? What's your smarter, cats or dogs?
Oh, well, I'm going to go with dogs just to be the antagonist. And because I tend to be a dog person. Now, are there some dogs that are definitely 2-year-olds and if pushing it to be that their whole life? But there are some that are really, they're dependent, and the things, especially some of them that are trained, what they can find and do. Like I think about the rescue dogs, like 9/11 that were out there trying to, help find people and such. There is an intelligence there, but it's not shared amongst all breeds. I'll give you that.
Well, I'm going to, as much as I'm a dog person and I love dogs, I do.
You're going to go with the cats.
I'm sticking with Vivian on this. Right. I think cats are more intelligent. I think when you're really super intelligent, there's no need for you to tell everybody.
I love that.
So, I think cats are the cat's meow. Yeah. So I'll go with that.
Awesome. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming over today and sharing with us. Encourage the audience if you live in the Indianapolis, Indiana area. Although I will say I drove from South Carolina before to get my hair taken care of at Guys and Dolls or Transformations. if you're looking for a place, certainly check out Transformations for, you know, skincare, nail care, spas, massage. They've got about everything you want. If you want a simple haircut, you want to try something outside the box, but check them out. They're on the south nails. Side. Oh yeah, nails too. And check them out. They're on the south side of Indianapolis.
Vivian, is there a website?
Yes, www.transformationssalonandspa.com.
Very good. And you want to give out the salon's phone number?
Yeah, sure. 317-882-1773. I had to think.
Well, we instantly anymore with our phones, we don't dial. No. We just hit, you know, hit the salon or what have you.
So we got hairstyling and nails and
massage.
Facial skincare.
Mm-hmm. You said faceless and earlier. You don't do faceless.
We do what is called a non-surgical facelift. So it is electricity that stimulates your muscles and it pulls your cheekbones and your eyebrows up and your chin up to where they were.
Shocking.
It is very shocking. I do mine on a 10. Most people can only take like a 6 or a 7. But I need to
maximize. Feel the shock when you do it.
Yeah, you feel your muscles, like you feel like your eyebrows are going to the back of your head.
Wow.
But yeah, it is.
I told a makeup artist told me one time that I should look into Botox for my, to help lift my eyebrows. And I was like, okay, I probably should, but.
You might try the lift first, but.
Get what you get. You don't.
I'm going to say Botox might be a little less painful.
Really? I'm not about pain. That's like.
Me either.
This is what, I have one suggestion to add.
Okay.
I don't tend to like some people when they get a massage, I want it deep and dig it. And even the most basic massage, I'm like, that hurts. I want somebody who just scratches my back. Can you add that as a service?
We definitely can.
Okay.
I will get that in there for you.
I just want to come and have you maybe 10, 15 minutes scratch my back and we're good.
Or rub your feet.
Oh yeah.
We're going to have to close this.
All right. Yeah. Down. We're getting carried away now.
Well, hopefully you will edit out a lot of my long pauses and yes, where my brain quit working for a moment.
I'll edit out some of them.
Oh, thanks, Chief.
All right, Vivian, thank you so much for being part of the Cutter's Notch podcast tonight. Whenever you're listening to it, it is whatever it is, right? But thank you very much for being part of the program today, Vivian. And thank you for being a part of our lives for so long. So very much appreciate your support and thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2. A collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.